Good morning, everybody. It's Friday. I hope you're ready for the weekend and the middle of winter. In fact, isn't it the solstice?
It better be. Fucking already over this.
Winter's just started and Ben is like, no more, thank you. Simpiwe's here also in her uniform this morning. We've got something at the office where everybody has to wear a hint of uniform.
Yes.
Of course, James and Flex didn't read the...
They don't ever follow instructions, those ones. And this is like legit the only thing I still have left from high school.
But look at what an overachiever. I just want to point out here that Simpiwe's blazer
is... all from like grade 8 to like...
It's chock full. Is that prefect? Wait, hang on. Yes. Let me read those.
So it's cultural. This is RCL, cultural.
Yes, yes.
Learner executive council. What does this one say? Deputy grade 10.
My God.
Yeah. But and then it's a white blazer.
You were very important.
But I tried.
Did you wear all the badges at once? Because once you're in grade 11, your grade 10 thing doesn't really matter, does it?
No, this was when matric. So, like, you know how you get, like, head girl, head boy?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I was deputy of the grade 10s.
So that's, oh, wow.
Oh, deputy of the grade 10s.
Yes.
So you had to look after the...
Yeah, they were my
This is complicated. This is like... This is like the rank in a Star Wars movie where you can tell the general from the admiral
My school, you had to be on time, know when your rugby game was,
oh,
and exams will be at the end of the year. And then we had prefix on top of that. Otherwise, no badges.
I was basically dropped off at school in the morning, and then I was told at some point during the afternoon you'll be picked up.
Your parents will return at some stage.
One of the days my dad didn't.
Oh, my gosh.
Until like... The sun went down, and I started thinking this could be a problem.
He had a busy lunch he had to deal with.
He did. He had work. He just forgot about me and my brother. But I somehow thought, okay, well, if he doesn't pitch, I can either mope, feel sorry for myself, or I can tell my brother, listen, fucker, we got to start walking. And the nearest people we know are in that house about 5 km away. We'll be all right. So it teaches you resilience.
Oh, my word.
But luckily he did. I saw the lights come around the corner. I was like, thank God, just before it gets dark and the wolves come. But that's kind of...
To which he said, did you die?
No. He was like, oh, sorry, I forgot about you. Which is not a good thing for a parent to say, apparently. You know? I mean, we're not damaged or anything. There's nothing wrong with us. We're fine.
It's funny how in those days it was actually your fault as well.
Oh, at that point, I do think he felt significantly bad about leaving us. I think my mother had given him some words because this is before cell phones, right?
So you had to wait.
and there was no office that was open at that time. All those ladies who worked in the office, they were fucking out of there before the bell rang, right?
So they
couldn't give a shit.
Exactly.
It wasn't like you'd go to them. And there was a ticky box, I think, in those days too. But I don't know if it even worked. So, you know, what are you going to do? So you just have to wait. And no one died. Everything was fine. No one was savaged by wild animals.
This was the cool thing with 80s kids, right? We got these wild stories where we didn't die, but jeepers nowadays.
Like, I mean, it wasn't even that.
Neglect.
It wasn't even that traumatic. But I'm sure that there are some good 80s stories from people.
Of course.
And it was just a little bit more exciting and invigorating.
I would say so.
Yeah. Anyway, so we've got a lot to get to this morning. Where do we begin? So apparently... Floyd Shivambu is now out of MK. Well, predictably. That party is just, and he said that the Treasurer General's stealing money and that there are people just stealing money. And he still loves Jacob Zuma, but the man is gullible and he's got bad people around him. And so it's more squabbling and infighting from a bunch of people who, frankly, if you ask me, can't afford it. Like these guys, their credibility is an all-time low. They did very well in the elections, but ever since the elections, there's been like this. They're all greedy for money because clearly none of them can go out and get a job. I mean, you wouldn't hire Floyd in your company. He would just cause you more worries and problems than any good. And it seems like there aren't that many brilliant people in MK who can keep things together because it all becomes about who's in charge and who's going to rule the roost. And it's like, I'll climb higher up the tree than you and then I'll shit on you from a height. That's kind of how it works in the MK party. So... Again, because he's an old man, when Jacob Zuma vacates and he's no longer, then that party is just going to completely collapse like a dying star. It's just going to fall in on itself.
I'm just always constantly perplexed. What is the point of Floyd Shivambu? Well, like, why is he ever in the news?
Nobody knows.
Why is he even a thing? Because what's he done? He joined a political party because he's got friends who tell lies.
Yeah, and then him and family members of his basically looted VBS Bank.
So I just don't
which
get
which was it. A I whole mean, lot of old women's money.
Please chime in here. I just don't get why, in a world of people who do brilliant things, yeah. or who are trying hard.
Why he's a thing.
Why does he ever make the news? Because, like, you know, if you want scandal, Kanye West sucked his cousin's dick in yeah. April.
That he's not going to let that go.
That story fell away. If you like scandal, yeah. you can go find it.
Right.
Okay?
So, that's a good story if you're interested in scandal.
So
yeah.
That beats Floyd.
Gotcha.
If you want a story of people doing things, the Proteas, the Springboks.
Sure. You went to the airport this week. Let's just talk about that for a second.
Let me finish my point
can
here.
Can I call him out first before we get to that?
Let me finish my point here. So in any way, shape, or form in this world, you can find a story that never has to go to the lengths of what a Floyd is. I mean, I'm not just picking on him. No. It's like, so why? I just...
Yeah, you know, you ask a very good question. I wish I had a better answer for
it's
you.
It's like when,
other
you go,
than...
when you go to the grocery store and everything is there, but you say, sorry, can I get something that's not quite as expensive as that, or cheaper than that, inferior than that, and not as tasty as that? They're going to say to you, so why do you want that product? And you'd be like, I actually don't know.
No.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'd love a Floyd fan to explain to me what they like about him.
Just don't get no. it.
I don't think you'll get a good answer, though.
Yeah.
The kind of person who is an actual dyed-in-the-wood Floyd Shivambu fan, I don't think those people are... I don't think they could type in a URL on a website, so I don't think they're listening to us.
Like
if you're a Floyd fan and you can hear me...
What is it?
Tell us what it is that draws you to him.
It's like being a fan of a flat tire. Wouldn't you want an inflated tire?
Yeah.
More?
Yeah. And also, I got this problem. I mean, this guy's Liam Jacobs, who was in the ANC, then he joined the DA, now he's in the PA.
Yes.
And I just have an issue with anyone who's crossed the floor to another party more than once. Let's say you get in your quiver of arrows, you get one arrow.
Mm-hmm.
But when you use that arrow... You can't use two or three, because if you cross the floor more than twice, we know you're just a parasite. You're just trying to get money from somewhere else. You're trying to maintain your relevance. You're trying to keep yourself alive in some way politically. And actually, you have no principles, right?
I think so.
I mean, otherwise, your first move should always be, do I have a political home? If I don't, start my own thing, even if I'm a party of one. Mm. Like, stand up for yourself and what you believe
in. We don't need another party.
But, I mean, to go from one party to another party to another party. Now, Floyd is flirting with going back to the ANC as well, apparently. So that would have meant he'd gone ANC, EFF, MK, ANC. And I don't know that he's learnt anything in that process. I think he's just going to where they will give him sustenance and succor. Which is kind of what politicians are. They're like a tick on the backside of a dog. They cannot make a living without the dog. They have to attach themselves to the body politic and to the people of this country, the tax-paying people of this country, and extract their blood that way. And if you move from one vehicle to another vehicle to another vehicle to another vehicle to do that, we're allowed to call you cynical and hypocritical. I don't think you should get to change your party if you're a politician more than once. Once is cool. You made a mistake. Everyone gets forgiven once for a terrible thing that they've done. I mean, you should really argue, as I did with some dude the other day at the gym who used to be in politics. I think going into politics is your first mistake. So you really don't even get a second chance if you ask me. But let's be forgiving. So for going into politics... We can forgive you if you end up doing a good job, but we'll only forgive you one time if you cross the floor.
Yeah.
Right?
I think that's fair.
Okay, so that's the rule. Approved.
And don't start another party.
We've got enough of those. Okay.
Yeah, because he also hinted that like he's going to do some, I don't know, country tour where he's going to ask South Africans if they want another party, and if they want another party, then he's going to start
this is
that.
Like a,
and I was just like, hey, yeah,
this is like the national dialogue that's going to cost us 800 million rand. Right? The president reckons this is a great idea. This is his, I have a great idea. My idea is that we are going to have a national dialogue. It's going to cost hundreds of millions.
It's called X every fucking day.
Yeah, just
go on there, you prick. Fuck, this is so tedious. It like hurts my brain. Sorry.
You said you had a bone to pick with Ben.
Yes, I actually do. Because last week, on this very couch, I asked him a very important question. I said, do you think the Proteas are going to take it? His answer was,
No.
Homeboy is at the airport to welcome the boys, the champions. And I just wanted to call you out of that to say, you said no.
I'm not seeing your point. You asked me for a sports result. I gave you a sports result.
And now you're like, aren't you acting as if you were like, yeah, I knew they were going to win it all along.
No, I support the teams, and beware, as in like I'm happy for the guys. They're the national team of our cricketers.
But he predicted a different result.
Yes, because they weren't on paper the better team. That's what happens in sports. You weigh up the options. I fail to see your point.
Yeah. I feel like you should have just been like, yeah, you think they're gonna take it.
So about 93% of people before that game said that. So must we all not go to the airport?
I don't know. I think
you're allowed to support a team, but predict that they won't do well.
I mean, this is what I do. I work in sport, right? So people ask me for professional opinions around sports. Going into that game, I would be lying if I said they're the favorites. So must I now not support them?
It's like, for example, I think...
Please, if you want to call me out, I'll answer my question.
Yeah, but I'm saying, Ben, I think maybe this also includes the conversation that you had off air with Marvin, that you're like now supporting the guys. And it's like, but you were saying that they're not going to win. And now it's like you're supporting them and going, you know, and going to see them at the airport. But on the show, when the question was asked about like, do you think they're going to win? And then it's like, yes. But then it's like off air. Let me also put that context. It's like, yeah, you're supporting them and you're like, yeah, they're going to win. And, you know. I don't know. I just like.
Well, I've got a show every single week. If you watch it, you'll see that we've been very complimentary to cricket for about a year. We support them as people, and we analyze results. That's kind of what this thing is. So yes, when they win, you get fucking happy for them.
So as a contrast, so I don't support any team, even our national teams. I don't get excited about it. I could give a shit. I'm emotionally dead to sports results, totally. But I love the fact that people go to the airport to welcome these guys back, because I can see why. I mean, they were on your video. There were little kids
it's joy.
Crying and
you know how much suffering people before this moment. It's
sure, and I understand the kinds of sacrifices sports people have to make. I don't get any emotional. I promise you, like, nothing happens in my – nothing. Well, other people – I've seen it at rugby matches and cricket games and whatever's on TV. I mean, Ben gets, like, emotional, and he's not an emotional human being either. He gets emotional about golf. Beautiful. I love it. I can understand it in other people. I don't feel a damn thing. So when people are all jumping up and down, yay, we won. I'm like, who's we, motherfuckers? You did nothing. This is the team. But I don't dislike it when I see it in other people. Right? So that's like the contrast of Ben. What he's saying is he analyzes it and looks at it, and beforehand he goes, our chances are not great. He did say, it's not looking good.
And after day one, it also wasn't looking good, because that's how these things play out. Our Oaks did something extra special, and that is so fucking cool.
I hate the way that, to me, there's something even worse than saying, then predicting your team's not going to do well or not supporting the team. The worst part of that is those people who are suddenly like screaming and shouting about how great the team are the next day after they've won. You know, the kind of people who...
Bandwagon jumpers.
Yeah, they pitch up at an after party.
Mm-hmm.
But they were never invited to the party, and they told everybody how shit the party was going to be. And then as soon as there's a good party going on, they're like, hey, we're here. And everybody should go, we don't want you here.
Yeah, you know, another point there, okay? So I spend 4 hours of my life standing around like a dick waiting for people to
early
hang
in
up.
The morning, by the way.
Yeah. Hmm. But you know why I did that? Because the piece of content that I make can then get people who have jobs or who can't get to the airport to get a little bit closer to what it must have been like to be at the thing. So must I not do that either?
No, I'm not saying that. I don't have an issue with you going to the airport.
Because your words were, homeboy's now excited for the team.
Like, yes!
Yeah,
based off what was said what was said on the show.
I didn't say these Oaks are losers. I fucking hate them. I hope they all have cancer. I said I don't think they've got a chance of beating the superior Australia team, which is genuinely what is like the reality of going into that game.
Tracy says Sim's argument is a pup handshake. Would she support her child at school in a match knowing that he's probably going to lose? Nope, you're still going to be that mom and cheer along.
It's not about me right now.
No, you shouldn't have even brought up. You shouldn't have even brought up the Floyd topic in the first place. This guy doesn't even deserve to be talked about. Well, the other one we've got to talk about is Julius, because he can't get a visa. Yeah, so I mean,
the England thing.
Yeah, second time. First time they denied it, and they tried to skirt around it. It was an admin thing or whatever. Remember? Mm-hmm. Now they've actually said to him,
Nah,
you're not coming in.
But have you seen his response? He was like, it's fine, they can ban me, but Soweto will never ban me.
Cool.
You know, it's like the Ayatollah. James, did I send you that Ayatollah tweet? No, because the Ayatollah is like...
I love the way you delivered that.
These people are not to be taken seriously. These are not serious people. So Ayatollah Khamenei, who's in his... I think he's 86 or whatever. Yeah. The guy with the big fucking turban on his head. He says, rage tweeting at, I don't know, 9 o'clock last night. Because... if you see the graph of missiles going into Israel from Iran, mm-hmm. it goes like this.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm doing this for the purposes of the screen, so this is the right then, and it's declining. So he rage tweets from his bunker. Now, just bear in mind, this guy, Ayatollah Asahola, is...
It can't be his real name.
Well, Asahola. I think it's Asahola. Anyway, he's about 90 meters underground. In a bunker made of concrete, wagging his finger like Pia Via Buerta used to do. Got a big fucking beard. He's got the turban on. And he goes, the harm the US will suffer will definitely be irreparable if they enter this conflict militarily. You know, I kind of picture Donald Trump. And I know there are lots of people who hate him, but I don't care for that. Purposes of this analogy, it's really, I picture him sitting in the White House just going, because like he said to Zelensky when he went to the Oval Office, you don't have any cards, I got all the cards, if you're good to me, I maybe we got some cards together, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. I look at this Ayatollah Asahola and I think you're in no position, like right now you should be crawling through the ruins of your once nuclear scientific endeavor. And you should be begging the President of the United States not to completely topple your regime and turn your capital city into a glass crater, because he can. You have nothing to play with here. You have nothing. And you don't have a whole lot of support, even from countries around you. I mean, quietly we know Saudi Arabia is going... You know, Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince, is like, yes, quietly, because they fucking hate the Iranians. Syria, just bear in mind, like Syria, a year ago, was one of Israel's biggest enemies. And there must be many people in Syria who still don't like Israel, but they had complete free clearance over Israeli jets had complete free flight over Syrian skies. If I told you that a year ago, you would have said, not possible.
Yeah.
You know, Iraq is a no-go zone. Basically, if you wanted to fly a hang glider, if you're American and you wanted to fly a hang glider or parachute down in a Pokemon suit, you would be able to do it. There is nothing in Iran that can stop you right now. So for this old man to be embarrassingly like tweeting on a platform... which, thank God for America, he has. Otherwise, we would never know what this crackpot had to say. It's just hilarious. And this old, old guy, like, you'll fuck you from, like, underground. Dude, shut up. No one needs to be listening to you. Calm the fuck down. Ayatollah Asahola. I think it, because it was Khomeini, then it was Nakhbata. Then forgive me, but my history of the Iranian Ayatollahs is mostly learned from The Simpsons. All right, enough of that. Sim, is that your school blazer, Durban Dope? We've already covered this. Thank you. I'd like to congratulate Ben on the success of his long-term bullying of the Proteas. It has borne the fruits that he intended.
Here we go.
Bit of tough love.
Always tough love because you care. And it's last week was so great, guys. And just like being at the airport and seeing these guys have their moment because, as I said, like these guys are always going to be in the shadow of the Springboks in every single way. And they're more introverted. You can see that their lives are different, but this was their moment.
Well, here's some other stuff. Justin Hemmings says, he didn't even think so. That's you, Ben. But he hoped they would. Quite wise assumptions considering Protea history.
Yeah.
Conga Chris says, the only sport Gareth enjoys is fox hunting in his estate. How did you know? Geez, Ben, take a joke. Oh, my God. Why so serious on a Friday, says Astrophysics.
What's the joke? Please tell me.
Betway Professor.
Blow it out your ass, man.
Okay, well, calm down. I mean, Astrophysics, first time they've ever been in the comments, but Ben just uses the opportunity to attack.
If you want to make a joke, make a joke. If you want to take me on about something, I will debate it with you.
Jesus, and then you're very ornery today.
And then we can joke forever and ever afterwards.
You prickly fuck. All right, so you and the Ayatollah should go and spend some time in that bunker of his, all right? Tracy Bart says, what was the hand action? All right, anyway, so... Tracy says Sim's argument is a pup handshake, which he's... I know, we've heard that already. Thank you. That was... that's an old comment. The worst is he is tweeting using Starlink because they turned the internet off. Oh, it's just... Again, even 4 months ago, there were people I had spoken to, pro-Israeli people, right, who'd said to me, oh, you know, Iran, very well armed, armed to the teeth. We don't know that's the size of this monster that lurks there with these seven heads, the Houthis, the Hezbollah, Hamas, Iraq. We've got all of these different things going on. Oman, we've got people everywhere kind of. You know, Iran is this terrifying monster. And sometimes when there's a terrifying monster, I suppose the lesson is, you just got to walk right into its cave and cut its fucking head off.
Yeah, because it's not expecting it.
Because sometimes the monster isn't as big and scary as everybody thinks it is. And, you know, there are a lot of people in America who are like, oh, we don't want World War III and all this stuff, which I understand. Who wants World War III? I don't know anyone who's running around going, yeah, I'd really love a nuclear winter across all the planet. That would be fantastic. But what we really don't want, if we don't want a nuclear winter, is to have a country like Iran having nuclear weapons. Because, you know, I've had a couple of arguments with not unintelligent people who've told me, oh, but how can Israel have nuclear weapons, but Iran can't? I'm like, well, because Iran has stated over and over again that they will use whatever nuclear weapons they can make in order to destroy the nation state of Israel. And probably lots of other places, including the United States. Can you imagine that Ayatollah who's rage tweeting right now? Mm-hmm. Imagine that fucker had control of a nuclear weapon. Mm. And he woke up one morning with a crick in the neck or whatever, because I can't imagine he's sleeping in comfort at the moment. And he can't use very much equipment because he's not sure what the Israelis are booby-trapped. So he's like, don't turn on the kettle. Dangerous. Oh, wait, have you checked your buzzer? Oh, God, don't press button. No, not press tit. Don't press that tit. Anyway, so the guy who clearly doesn't have any control over his emotions and probably his bowels, should not be in charge of the nuclear codes. He's a very unstable person, and I would not like a religious fanatic like that to be thinking about using, because in a situation like this, we know he's in a desperate situation, so he would use anything at his disposal.
Yes.
As Trump has said, pretty much for two decades now, we cannot allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon. Not all countries are equal. Some countries are fucking crazy, and they're run by crazy people. Mm. Now, I think that there are probably lots of good Iranians who are seeing in this an opportunity for regime change. But I don't really care what Iran does. I want the people of Iran to have a say in what their future looks like. I don't think they have that under this theocratic regime. But I am not particularly interested in America putting troops on the ground and trying to change the government of Iran. I don't know that that's in anyone's interests, especially not in the interests of the American people, who have learned the hard way that regime change in the Middle East is a very, very bad strategy. So let's see what happens. But if you're Julius, you can't even go to the UK if you want to go watch from there. Let's say they have a nice viewing window in the Gherkin that you want to check it out from. Not allowed.
Can I just ask, like, what the current score is between Iran and Israel? Because there's these AI generated videos that are coming out.
Okay, so there are three or four big nuclear installations. There's one called Natanz, which has been obliterated. There's one called Isfahan. Well, it's near the city of Isfahan. That's been obliterated. There's another one out in the eastern desert, which was also just smoking at the moment. There's nothing else there. But then there is it's called Fordo, Fordow. Huge bunkers under a mountain, impenetrable. You need bunker buster bombs, which only the Americans have. Israel definitely damaged that place. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, 3 out of 4, I don't think that Israel would have gone in without a plan to take out 4 out of 4.
Okay.
Because you have to, in nuclear bomb making, you can't allow for a 1% chance.
Yeah.
Right? So I think they've still got to take out a lot of that, but they might have to do a ground assault for that. Either way, it's probably about Israel 12, Iran 1 at this stage. Iran have managed to get one or two tactical ballistic missiles through the Iron Dome.
Yes.
Because it has weaknesses and it's been absolutely pummeled in the last couple of weeks. But the number of missiles, as I said to you, is declining sharply because they just don't have missile launchers that are in operation. They've been taken out. So at this stage, it's really not looking good. Iran is out of options.
So if you go into X, I've seen a couple of accounts from Iran.
Yeah, where they
all seem like they're being used by some 14-year-old girl who's just angry. And it's
no,
all
it's the
like,
Ayatollah.
It's but like Iran army, Iran military. It's
and they obviously there's such obviously fake like missiles going up and blowing something up. They had a. Listen, I mean, some Israeli drones have been shot down, for example, but the death toll in Israel is maybe between 10 and 20 people, civilians, of course. These are not military targets. There may be more military targets, but military targets are what you expect in a war.
Yeah.
You don't go after the civilians. What I find interesting is that Israel have had such a surgical attack on the people who were at the top of the Iranian military and scientific machine, that you see in that one amazing picture of this apartment building in Tehran, there's a hole where the rocket goes in. There is scorch marking on the windows on the other side, black and soot and that kind of thing. And you can see there was a fire. But all the other apartments are fine around it. It's like, no, we're going after that guy. And then they appointed some dude who is now, he was for 24 hours, the new head of the military. But he lasted 24 hours, then they took him out as well.
Wow. You're very quick with that, eh?
You would not want to be the next guy in line. Yeah, I don't want the job, really. Can I just work at Checkers? I'd be very happy with that. I'll do that. I'll sell people vapes or whatever. I mean, that's a better job, right? and there was a great tweet yesterday, which I laughed about rather a lot more than I should have, I suppose. This guy's like, we will take you on, America. Also, some rage tweeting, like, I think it was actually a woman. It's like, we will take you on, America, and we will get you, and you have no idea of the power of Iran. And then some American replied to her and said, our B-52s fly at however many thousands of feet, and you can't throw a goat that high.
Wow.
So we'll see. Dirk Kutsia says, the conflict is distracting people from a lot of other important things. If you want to cause some shit, now's the time. Distracting, yeah, but I don't think the point is distracting. Like, I do think it is in the interests. Can we just focus on this? Because I see a lot of Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, that sort of noise coming up about, like, how America and Trump, he's a betraying MAGA, and America does not need to get involved. They're almost like isolationists. America doesn't get involved in anything else. That's not what we voted for. The reality is, and President Trump has been absolutely clear about this without any ambiguity from the beginning. Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. That's it. They can't. It's not a good idea for anyone on earth. Of course, the funny thing for our people here in South Africa is that the ANC have lost a major benefactor. Because remember, Iran was paying the wages for Lutuli House.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
They came to their rescue once or twice. That's like losing your patron if you're an NGO and you need a donor. They got taken out by that missile. Damned Israelis.
Well, it's like if your blesser doesn't have a job anymore.
Oh, that's what it is. That's a better analogy. Your blesser's so busy putting out fires that they can't sell oil to give you some
in prison
of the profits, yeah. I saw videos on X about Iran before the regime changed everything. It was a beautiful place. They dressed normally in the royal family palaces are stunning. Yeah, I saw Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, who is the... would be the Shah of Iran, the king. He was on an interview on CNN or one of those networks the other day. And I mean, this guy is I suppose the alternative to the Ayatollahs. I don't know whether every Iranian would want to replace the Ayatollah with another kind of, I suppose, traditional, hierarchical, and not necessarily merit-based government, because this would be a royal family.
Mm-hmm.
But let the people of Iran decide. It's nobody else's business. That's where I think it's got nothing to do with the rest of us. However, I don't think that this Ayatollah is reading. He's just not reading the room, this guy. It is a good time to watch Team America again, Harmin says. Well, okay, so if I can break off on this for a second to be a little philosophical. For people who have been living in the realm of fantasy over the last decade, because we've been living in a world where politics has been performative, there's been a lot of lying and bullshit. We've been told this is true, and we find out that it isn't, like COVID, for example, and so much else. That era is now officially at an end. Now we are back in the realm of the real world. Realism, realistic and reality-based stuff, which is happening around us. If you talk a whole lot of shit, you're going to be held responsible for it from here on in. I'm telling you, there's a sea change going on here. The world is a different place now to what it was when you had politicians pretending the whole time. That's not going to get you anywhere now. And America, the sheriff's back in town. And Trump is walking down Main Street with both of his hands on his guns. And if you're a bullshit country, it doesn't matter what meetings you go to at the UN, the US will not tolerate any cuck in their town. And we live in their town now. So if you don't like it, you're going to go, oh, well, we're with China or whatever. You noticed how quiet China's being? China's shutting the fuck up and staying in its box right now. Have you noticed how Russia has not rushed to help Iran? They've got their hands full with Ukraine right now.
Have you noticed how global warming's improved a lot?
Global warming
it's not there anymore.
You know, so Cyril went to the... So let's talk about our ridiculous president for a second too, because it follows from what I've just said. So our ridiculous president goes to Canada.
Yep.
For the G7.
Yeah, well,
sits with
these
the new
G's are there, please.
Oh, there's a lot. There's the G20, there's the G7. We're hosting one of the G's here in Durban at some point this year, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
November?
Whatever. Yeah, I mean, it's just such a talk shop.
It's
so,
Joburg, that's why we got bus lanes.
Is it Joburg? Okay. Oh, yeah, they've put a bus lane here on Catherine Street.
Of course, so much traffic.
So important.
Exactly.
That's so stupid, right?
Like, yo.
How's that helped?
It hasn't. Like, I'm using more petrol now. Like, I'm stuck in traffic. Takes 20 more minutes to get to the office.
And then the bus lane's empty.
Yeah. It's just,
but simply, where are we getting the G20? So anyway, Cyril goes off to the G7. Which, by the way, they didn't even ask him to be in the photo for. They, like, chased him out of the photo and took it with the real leaders of real countries that are important. They made him stand on the side. You can see the official photo. Don't trust me. Go and look for yourself. Anyway, Cyril goes there, and then one of the news outlets obviously takes pity on him, and they're like, shame, that guy doesn't have anyone to talk to. Let's ask him a question. So they go up to him, they ask him a question. They're like, hey, president, and they're looking for his name tag of wherever, because it's an American journalist or a Canadian journalist. And then he's like, oh, it's so nice of you to interview me. I really appreciate it. Anyway, so they ask him what he's there to achieve, and he says, well, we've got to fight global warming and climate change, and we've got to seek resources to help the third world developing countries. It's like, you know, begging bowl. So basically his whole reason for spending our money to go to Canada, three things. Number one, blah, 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 global warming, blah, 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 climate change, which if South Africa, if everyone stopped using every kind of fossil fuel right now, you wouldn't even notice the atmosphere change. I mean, even those big coal fire stations in Mpumalanga that look like Mordor and Secunda or wherever, these terrible places, if we switched them off and we never switched them on again, wouldn't even make a 0.5% change in the global atmospheric carbon emission levels. It wouldn't. Not even a 0.05, I don't think. Go look. Prove me wrong. I'd love a scientist to say to me, that's bullshit, Gareth. We would suddenly make everything better. That's number one. Number two, give me some money. Right? Oh, right?
Oh. Why you never give me? Give me.
Why you never give me? And number three, I can't find my iPad. Where's my iPad? No, I'm kidding. Number three was something about how, you know, we've got to do our best to help other sub-Saharan African countries and trade and all the rest of it. And I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about, dude. You haven't, not 1 cent of your money that you've made was made by you. It's all like you were the first recipient of BEE, and we just don't, you just don't have any cred anymore here. So good luck for the G20, because that's going to be bigger than the G7. And it's so exciting we're hosting it. I mean, so exciting that we're providing the room where a bunch of these. By the way, Trump flew in again to show you the nature of politics in 2025. Trump jetted into the G7, touched down, was there for like 5 minutes.
Love it.
Said, thanks, everybody. You guys carry on talking. I got real shit to do. Got back on his plane and fucked off, leaving the rest of the world leaders to talk.
It's such a nice idea because we all grew up watching movies, right? And discussions and getting together and
summits between world leaders.
It's such a grand, lovely, romantic idea. Like, but that's not how shit gets done anymore. It's just unfortunately not how it gets done.
No.
It's like focus groups and national dialogues. It's a lovely idea.
Now you go to the White House under President Trump and you beg him to release the pressure from your balls because he's squeezing and he can squeeze any balls he wants. That's how it works now. So get used to it or complain about it and carry on living in fantasy. But that's how it is. Does Cyril know we have the lowest economic growth among our neighbors? They don't need our help. That's a funny thing, right? Because we always used to treat Botswana and Namibia and Zambia and Zimbabwe as these like ridiculous countries where their economy was cuck and they didn't have us. Then they would never survive. But that's not the case anymore.
Yeah.
A lot of these countries have, I mean, the pula in Botswana is worth a whole lot more than the rand at the moment. Zambia is doing extremely well. They've got farmers that were kicked out of Zimbabwe who live there now and are producing vast quantities of all kind of cash crops. Even Mozambique seems to be getting its act together right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we are not. We have very little growth.
0.1.
Is that what it is?
Yebo.
Okay.
Yebo.
So we really have no... Cyril has no business talking about the region because no one appointed him boss of the region.
But didn't, isn't he boss of...
What, SADC?
SADC.
Yeah, again.
He mustn't talk.
Another group of people who got together, made an organization to spend money and have tea and talk to each other and nothing happens.
Isn't Cyril like the chairman of the G20?
Who appointed him? Ay, bo.
No, it's like one of those employer of the month things. They look around and they go, okay, that person hasn't had it yet. Because, I mean, in all workplaces, right, there's someone who's better than someone else. But you can't have a consecutive, like, it can't be Susan 7 weeks in a row. So they're always going to find someone else. That's how Cyril gets these
maybe things. Maybe.
But even then, what has he done that is so amazing for him to get that position? Like, what did you do? Employee of the month. Okay, did you reduce taxes? No. Did you improve the economy? No. You just keep asking for more money. Like,
can I ask you something? Because this is much more important on a Friday morning. How's the swear jar in the office coming along?
Betunana, James is leading the pack.
James, have you got a foul mouth?
Yes, he does.
I saw a token £5 coin in that thing. I was like, where is it?
No, it is about like 40, 50 bucks now.
Yeah, you guys are not good debt collectors. Because according to the chart, and by you guys, I mean you and Noms, right?
Yes.
So Nomcebo and Simpiwe are the main instigators of this plan. And it's for a good cause, you know. They've said they're going to buy stuff for the office.
We have. This week we bought milk.
Yeah, but you haven't pulled in all the money that you're actually owed.
Sad sentence.
Technically, they should be invoicing like well over 200 rand at this stage.
James alone owes
200 rand for swearing. Five rand a word, 200 rand. James, every second word must be swearing.
No. You said you're going to buy tequila.
It's got nothing to do with what you drink or what you like.
The thing is, none of us can hear James because there's no microphone on, but right now he's swearing at us. He's literally just swearing at us.
Add
he's calling
some people
things that no man should ever say. You should be in for a lot of money.
Yeah. But the swear jar is going. I mean, I think there's like 20 rand now in there. We did use a bit of it to buy milk because we are a bit bougie. We don't drink regular milk in this company. We drink barista milk.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's why our coffee's better than everyone else's.
So that's what we did with the money this week.
So Dirk Kutsia says quite rightly about Cyril, do we still care about global warming? Can I just get 24-hour electricity and running water? Let's start there. Yeah, you can't be solving the weather. And I know climate people get so upset when you confuse the weather and climate because to them, of course, they're different things. But really what they tell you is, we can change the weather if you pay this tax, which is nonsense. That's as nonsense as me saying that they can change the weather. So I think I'm arguing on a good footing when I argue with a climate zealot and they tell me that, oh, weather is a different thing. But they assure me that if they could just switch off some fossil fuel, everything would get better exponentially, you know, including the plants would have a better time because we'd have greatly forested areas that would spring up out of nowhere. Then I remind them that plants actually like a bit of carbon dioxide and the
it's
argument just, it deteriorates from there. But yes, Dirk is correct. Like our president should be focused on making things better for us.
Yes.
Right? Ordinary citizens in South Africa. Before you start putting on your shining armor, dude, and getting on your white stallion and riding off to fight the dragon of climate change, let's start with the little cockroaches that we have here that we can kill. Like, kill those. Mount your great steed and kill the cockroaches that are stealing cables and ruining our infrastructure and bursting water pipes and roads with potholes and all of these things that we have to deal with. Those cockroaches would be a good place to start. Take the, the splinter out of your eye before you try and remove the beam from someone else's. And no one in the world believes like Cyril Ramaphosa is going to solve climate change.
Yeah, but
is there anyone on earth who's going, you know, my money's on him to sort that problem out? In fact, I don't know that anyone's money's on him to sort any, put a word, any word you like in there, problem out. He would not be the first. If you were, let me put it to you this way. If we were in a zombie apocalypse, okay, and you could choose five people.
Okay.
In South Africa, let's narrow it down. Would one of those five people be the president of the Republic of South Africa?
Yes.
In a zombie apocalypse?
I'd kick him in the knee.
Oh,
and then
wow.
There's more time for the four of us to get
away. To escape the zombies.
Because you've got to have a weak person in the zombie apocalypse. I think it's not the greatest example. I think it's if you're trying to survive in the desert and you need skills, I wouldn't pick Cyril.
Would you?
No, I wouldn't. Even for the apocalypse, no. He's just going to beg those guys and be like, oh, so, don't take me. Yeah, There's the team. Like, give me money. Like, no. We don't need a team player like that. Like,
hey, apparently.
Sorry, just getting back to this whole thing with like politicians and climate change. You know when like it's such a middle class thing to be able to do? Like if you've got no money in life, you talk about cuck, you know, like, you know, violence, like my kids are this and that, but you start doing a little bit better, you start talking about like dinners somewhere or weekends away or picnics, and that's what the thing is, like countries who are in shit, they're so tired of talking about poverty and debt and all that kind of stuff. Climate change is like the most fun thing to talk about because it's like, hey, I'm sophisticated, I'm so much better now.
Yeah,
like,
you
I'm,
think you're
important. I'm above these like these low-lying issues. I talk about climate change because I'm fancy. That's
I
what
disagree with that. Because I think when you look at the country, yes, we have like a number of issues and you can pick which issues you want to look at. We don't always need to look at the poverty and the unemployment. I do agree with that. But there's other things that still take place that are far bigger than climate change. And that's the issues that he fails to read the room. He fails to actually talk about the things that even... South Africans that live in Cape Town actually talk about. I don't think those guys that live in Clinton are talking about climate change at all. At all. That's not even a problem that comes to them. And it's so he's so distant from the ordinary, even the rich South African man. Even the rich oaks are looking at him and like this clown. I promise you.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's taking him seriously. And I would love to know if there's somebody who thinks he'd be great on their apocalypse team. That's really okay. So we've got a couple of minutes left of this hour. I just want to quickly get to this. Gareth, I wish your podcast was popular with ANC voters. Nobody here to argue with. Well, listen, we often argue on the show. I'd love to hear a good argument against this position.
We always argue on the show.
That guy can't find his iPad. How in the hell is he going to find water in the desert? Yeah. He would ask the zombies to pay your taxes and help him find his iPad. Cyril talks climate change while Trump says drill, baby, drill. And, you know, the other thing is we live in a country where you can't speak ill of fossil fuels because that's kind of what's keeping the engine of this country going. And we have lots of coal, which is, thank God, that's something we can mine and we can burn and we can use. Whatever dinosaurs died here hundreds of millions of years ago... Thank you, dinosaurs.
They gave us the coal.
They
gave us the land.
So let us use it.
So let us Triceratops back in the day.
You know, Ben, you conscientized me to the dinosaurs and the land. In fact, I'd like to just pretend we're going to start the show from scratch this morning.
The original.
And I'd like to bring some honor to the great dinosaurs who came before us, because I do feel like, you know, this is a very en vogue thing for people to do now. So I'm going to start. All right. Can I start this just properly?
Okay.
Before we begin, we'll just start the show again, James. Wipe everything we've said up to now.
Okay.
Before we begin, let us take a moment to acknowledge the original and rightful stewards of this land, the dinosaurs.
Yep.
For over 160 million years, they roamed, ruled, and respected this earth long before humans came to mine it, pave it, and build cafes on top of it. We recognize that this land was taken, suddenly, violently, and without treaty, by a rock from space, and later by mammals with plans. Though the dinosaurs are no longer with us, at least not in their original form, their legacy is embedded in the ground beneath our feet, in the fossil record, and in every bird that watches us with judgmental eyes. And also, in the fuel that we burn. Thank you, dinosaurs. Yet again, we are in your debt. We honor their memory and acknowledge that we are mere squatters on what was, and perhaps always will be, dinosaur land.
Yes.
And that's the show, guys. That's the show. Thank you.
All right, very good. Someone's giving you shit here, Sims. Carl says, Clinton, you mean Clifton.
Ah, that thing. Whatever.
We need a flag for the dinosaurs.
Well, no,
everyone's got a flag, guys. We need the old.
So I listened to a Rogan episode this week, which I don't always listen to.
Who was the guest?
He had someone called Beth Shapiro on. She works for Colossal. You know that company they made the dire wolves.
Yes.
And they're about to genetically engineer mammoth.
Yes.
Back to life. Yeah. Like unextinct a species.
Which I think is a horrible idea. Horrible.
Tell me why.
No, because there's a reason why those things don't exist anymore.
Yes, humans hunted them to extinction.
Yeah, but there's a reason why. You know what I mean? There's a reason why.
Okay.
And the Sims of today, right, of 2025, is not built to deal with mammals of 2,000 years ago.
I don't know what the problem is. I would love to see. So I had I had lunch yesterday with Anthony Medera.
Do you know how to hunt?
Hang on. I had lunch yesterday with Anthony Medera, who used to do Blind History with me. We're talking about doing a new season of that, which will be lots of fun. But you know, he also is very into sharks.
Mm.
He's like a member of the Sharks Board, isn't he?
Oh, no, he's in with all these shark scientists. You know.
Yeah.
He's very sad because he said there are no sharks, no great whites left in False Bay.
Mm. Yeah.
They've all been killed by orcas and humans, and it's just terrible. So he's invented this shark-safe barrier, which is terrific, and they've put them in the Bahamas, and it's working very well. And anyway, he is the proud owner of a megalodon tooth.
Wow.
Now, you know what a megalodon is?
Yes.
Megalodon was that 20-meter long shark that existed.
It was like the great whites.
We're talking a couple of million years ago,
right?
I mean, at least 10 million years ago, probably a bit less or a bit more. I'm not entirely sure. But a megalodon. Now, I don't have a problem. If you want to sort out the orcas, in my opinion, you get something bigger than the orcas. Teach those orcas a lesson. They're out of control.
A couple megalodons by Steel Island. Great idea.
Ben, you just need one. Just one. Those little orcas will go back to... this is essentially world politics again. Once you introduce a megalodon into the pond, all the other fish who were behaving badly start behaving. Oh, shit, we better shut our mouths. Get back to our business, tidy up our little fish house, and just hope that megalodon doesn't come sniffing around here. I think it's a good idea. I'd like to see a megalodon. I don't want a T-Rex. I don't want a T-Rex, Sims. Don't get concerned. I saw you look very worried. Mammoths, I'm not really fussed about.
What are you guys concerned about? Are you suddenly going to go back into living in the wild and now you're going to hunt for dinner?
No, what I'm saying is we're
driving your mini and coming to an office. The mammoth's not going to fucking touch you.
Sims is worried that she'll get back to Benoni and there'll be a mammoth.
I'm not equipped to fight.
Locking the entrance of Checkers.
Guys, all I'm saying, okay, it takes just... One
mammoth.
One. And we are doomed as a human race. We're doomed because we're just not equipped anymore.
I think we're better equipped. I don't know.
What, you're going to fight it with your phone?
We've extincted these fucking mammoths before. We can do it again.
But right now, 2025, Gareth.
We didn't have guns then. We didn't have planes then.
Gareth,
we didn't have jobs either, so we could focus on fighting these things.
Okay, but the Ben of 2025, the Gareth of 2025, could you, right, right now, if it was right in front of you, deal with that thing?
A mammoth.
Yes, and just take it out. Comfortably
sore. No, because I'm 82 kilograms. I'm not fucking taking anything down that weighs 7 tons.
That's
change
point.
Anything.
Yeah, but...
My point.
It's not waiting for you in Benoni.
It's not here to fight us.
That's what you guys think. Yeah.
They're going to put it in a... They're going to put it in a pen in Alaska. I mean, so listen to the interview and tell me if you
that's
still agree.
Guys, we've got to get Jurassic Park back.
I would kind of like them
to
bring...
Do you know how that movie ended?
I'd like them to bring back a saber-toothed tiger.
Yes, me too.
I'd like them to bring back...
I want to try ceratops in the mix.
There's a reason why these things are gone, guys.
Guys, look.
What about dinosaurs?
We've got space, right? There's there's land out there.
No.
Siberia. Fuck, there's places. Let's get it all back.
oh, there's a reason why they're gone. Don't mess with
his. You've got to roll the dice in life, huh?
No, no, no.
And then eventually someone's going to then we kill it. And then there's like mammoth coats are going to be the thing in Milan.
Yeah.
It'll be a thing. That
mammoth wool.
There will be a whole life cycle, right? And then like people will get to eat the mammoth.
Yeah.
It'll be the absolute circle of life moment because we all get to marvel of like mammoths, science bringing it
mammoths
back.
Mammoths apparently only went extinct, I want to say like 4,000 or 5,000 years ago.
Oh, they'll get back in the mix quick.
I think so.
Do you know where the danger is?
Okay, so are you saying don't make anything?
At all.
Because you're playing in God's laboratory.
Yes.
You know, that so you have an ethical and moral problem with it. But more than a survival problem.
Yes. What I'm saying is also when I look at how we are as a society globally, right? We are not built to actually handle those mammals because they're still like, this is me from 2,000 years ago. I'm still going to roam the streets like I did. And we are too civilized now. We're not hunters anymore. Don't you think now?
Don't you think then... give them a fighting chance, and if we're the ones who go extinct, then we deserve it.
Guys, they're not going to be fighting us. We're going to put them into a place where they're going to be mammothing.
I don't know, Ben. You make enough of them, they might gang up.
Yes! It's going to do what it is.
This is their land.
It's their land. We just worked. It's their land. Let them back and go back to it. They're the rightful owners.
I don't know. I don't know. I think that it could be very interesting. I don't love all of these animals. I don't think all of them are a good idea. I don't want something that's super fast, super carnivorous.
Yeah, there's a couple of those prehistoric birds that are a bit much.
Those pterodactyls. I don't want a pterodactyl.
That's where you guys draw the line.
No, exactly. So, there's always a line.
I don't have to explain how absolutely mortifying it would be if you went outside now to just like get something from your car. Let's say you left your wallet in your car and you walk outside and you bleep. And your car goes bleep, and then the shadow just passes over the whole place. But it takes a long time for the shadow to move on. And then you look up and it's gone. And so you go, oh, well, okay. And you open your car door and you lean into your car. And just as you're about to reach for your wallet, a giant beak opens up. But like a beak the size of a bus puts you and your car into its beak. Knocks its head back, swallows you down its gullet, goes, and flaps its enormous wings, sending all the other cars flying, and then takes off into the sky. I think I would shit myself 1,000 times.
I'm saying all of them. All of them. That scenario, the mammal.
Mammoth. No. The mammoth are a different thing. Please don't. The mammoth is not... Okay, it's like a big, woolly, slow snow elephant. With different tusks.
And we've already got so many elephants. And how does an elephant compromise your day on a day?
Yeah, right now, are you worried about them escaping the Kruger National Park and coming rampaging through Benoni?
All I'm saying, there's a reason why the elephant survived, okay? And we've been able to kind of like domesticate the elephant. Those animals are gone.
Domesticated them.
Yes, they're in the zoo now.
They're in the wild. Okay, so
it's a zoo.
I don't think you have to worry about mammoths. If they do reintroduce them, they're not coming to South Africa. Gary says there are already mammoths in Benoni. Have you seen some of the tunnies? just before we finish this hour, I know we've got to take a break, but I do want to complain. Remind me after the break. I want to complain about people's lack of spatial awareness. Okay. This is becoming such a big issue to me, and I don't know if it's just because I'm getting old, but we have to talk about this. So that is coming up. Plus, we have to look at the sport, Ben.
Yeah.
Because we swore we would do this. Simpiwe has economic indicators that prove that we aren't doing well, as if you needed bad news for a Friday morning, but we do. And South African-powered AI tech, among other things. So there's also some Lithuanians who refuse to kill a bear, and we'll find out all about that too. So plenty of good reasons.
It's your story.
It's so exciting. This is going to be a great morning. All right, don't go anywhere.